Yes. I want to welcome those that are watching online this morning or listening to a podcast or watching us on Facebook Live. We love you. You're part of our family, and we're just glad you're here with us this morning. Can we give our online folks a hand this morning? All right, here we are a week before Easter. We're getting ready for four amazing church services. That's four services, folks. That's amazing. So God's going to be here. This is an incredible weekend for you to go out and invite somebody to church. I had a blast the other night. I had the cards, the purple cards, and I was putting them all over HEB, everywhere at HEB. I was putting them, when somebody goes to find a can of sardines, they're going to see a card that says good news. I went into the toy section with my son Maverick, and there was a Star Wars action figure, and he had his hand out like this. I think it was Darth Vader, and he was doing that strangle thing. I put a card in his hand, and he's holding that card, and it says good news. And so that's what we're here for, is the good news of Jesus. And just like that sermon, just like the song that we just heard, He has the final word. Our God has the final word. And so I'd like for us to turn to Matthew 21 and verse 1. And I'm going to start here. And Lacey talked about Palm Sunday. And I want to go right into that story. As Jesus and the disciples approached Jerusalem, they came down to the town of Bethpage on the Mount of Olives. Jesus sent two of them on ahead. He said, "Go into the village over there. And as soon as you enter it, you will see a donkey tied there with its colt beside it. Untie them and bring them to me. And if anyone asks you what you were doing, just say, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will immediately let you take them." This took place to fulfill the prophecy that said, "Tell the people of Jerusalem, look, your king is coming to you. He is humble, riding on a donkey's colt." The two disciples did as Jesus commanded. They brought the donkey and the colt to him and threw their garments over the colt, and he sat on it. Most of the crowd spread their garments on the road ahead of him, and others cut branches from the trees, palm branches, and spread them on the road. And Jesus was in the center of the procession, and all the people around him were shouting, "Praise God for the Son of David. Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Praise God in the highest. Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord." And the entire city of Jerusalem was in an uproar as he entered. "Who is this?" they asked. And the crowds replied, "It's Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." And so here we are, Palm Sunday, and we're hearing about Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem. This was the beginning of what we call the Holy Week or the Passion Week. But so many things were taking place right here. So many prophecies were fulfilled in just this tiny little piece of time in 1 week. So many prophecies. From Zechariah to prophecies from the Psalms and Proverbs. And it was just amazing what was happening here. And it was celebratory. It was joyous. They were screaming at the top of their lungs. Their king was coming. He was riding on the back of a donkey. And there were huge crowds that were cramming the road, trying to get a glimpse of Jesus. You see, they had heard of the miracles. They heard of the feeding of the thousands. Word had spread. They'd heard of that. They've heard of Jesus the day before. Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead in the town next door. So there was this fervor. There was this excitement. They heard Jesus was coming. They'd heard all about the prophet. And they were waving palm branches. They were taking off their coats and their cloaks and laying it down at his feet. They were carpeting the path. They were crying out to him to be their king. Y'all, this was like a huge parade. It was amazing. They were so excited. It was an amazing thing to behold. But they were wanting an earthly king. They wanted an earthly king. They wanted this Jesus, who they heard was so powerful that he could even raise the dead. They wanted Jesus to knock out the Romans, the oppressive rule of the Romans. They were looking for an earthly king. And they praised him. And they said, Hosanna. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna is a Hebrew word that basically means, save us now. Jesus, save us now. You must be the Messiah. You must be the one. He's going to take back Israel. But what breaks my heart about this story, and when we think of Palm Sunday, we see it as this joyous occasion. We celebrate it. We celebrate it. But what breaks my heart is in just a few days later, these same people would reject him and crucify him. There's a poem by Kay Hoffman that really sums up the Holy Week. It says, they waved palm branches as he passed and hailed him as their king. Yet they knew not of the sorrow the coming week would bring. The glad acclaim would soon give way to jeers and mockery. In Pilate's court, he'd be condemned to a cross on Calvary. But Jesus knew he was the price in God's redemptive plan. The sacrificial lamb come down to die for sins of man. The centuries have passed and still he seeks those lost in sin, pleading with unyielding hearts to repent and follow him. On this day we shout and praise, oh, let us not delay. The palm-strewn path of long ago still leads to him today. What a week. You see, this week started with Hosanna and praise. It started with accolades, but it ended with accusation. He started as a king and ended as a criminal. What a difference a week makes, just 1 week's, 1 week's time. Have you ever had a bad week? Did you know before you had that bad week that it was going to be a week? You see, a lot of probably some good things happened in that week. Like, whew. But then you have a really bad day, and the whole week's bad. A bad week. You see, the thing about Jesus is Jesus knew everything that was going to happen before it happened. Imagine facing a bad week knowing everything that was going to happen to you. You would say, I'm not going to do this week. If you knew that you were going to get fired or you were going to have a horrendous week, you would say, that's it, I'm taking this week off. I'm not going to do this week. This week is not going to happen. But Jesus knew. He knew the hearts of men. Remember, we've been talking that he was the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was made flesh, and the Word was God. And the Word knows the hearts of men. And so Jesus, on that donkey with palms waving in the air and people crying out to him, Hosanna! He knew that these same people would turn on him. Jesus knew their hearts going in to Jerusalem. He knew it. In fact, it says Jesus wept when he went into the city. Luke 19 and 41 says, "But as he came closer to Jerusalem and saw the city ahead, he began to weep. How I wish today that you of all people would understand the way to peace. But now it's too late, and peace is hidden from your eyes. Before long, your enemies will build ramparts against your walls and encircle you and close in on you from every side. They will crush you into the ground and your children with you. Your enemies will not leave a single stone in place because you did not recognize it when God visited you." Jesus was the Almighty God robed in flesh, come to visit his people. Why did he weep? Why did he weep? Because they were going to reject him again. Why did he weep? Because he was everything they didn't know they needed. They were looking for a king to come in and conquer because they wanted peace from the Romans. And Jesus knew, even if I conquered the Romans, you would have no peace because you are a slave to sin. He knew they wanted peace, and they were going to reject the Prince of Peace. He wasn't surprised that they were going to do it again. It wasn't a surprise to him. He knew it. He knew their hearts, but he kept going. He kept going, parade and all, palm branches waving through the air. Hosanna! He said in Matthew 23 and 37, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones God's messengers, how often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen protects her chicks beneath her wings, but you wouldn't let me. You wouldn't let me." This is a picture of God's heart. He wanted to protect them. He wanted to show them who he was. He wanted them to know him, that he was the peace that they were looking for. But they would reject him over and over again. It says, "You're the city that stones the prophets. Every time I send somebody to you, you kill them. You kill the messenger." And he knew that going in. You see, rejection is the dismissal or refusal of a proposal. That's what rejection is. And Jesus, I hate to say this, but Jesus was the king of rejection. He was acquainted with rejection. He knew it well. He was very familiar with rejection. In fact, it says it in Isaiah 53 and 3. "He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief." He was acquainted with grief. He was familiar with grief. He was familiar with rejection. So many times in the Bible, humans, mankind, us, we reject him. I could start in the Old Testament. I could start with Adam and Eve. And we're just barely in there, folks. If we go to the children of Israel, oh, how many times? How many times rejected? And I know this is heavy, but this gives us a glimpse of our hearts. It gives us a glimpse of who he died for. It gives us a glimpse of the passion that he had, knowing and going into Jerusalem that day, knowing that Judas would betray him. The Bible says that when the shepherd was smitten, it said, smite the shepherd and the sheep will scatter. He knew that his own disciples were going to abandon him. He knew Peter, the rock. The rock. Peter. When I say the rock, I know some of you are thinking, the rock. Big, strong, muscly, big. You know, this huge, unmovable thing. But even Peter, even the rock, would deny him not once, not twice, but three times. He knew, and he knows, and he was patient. What blows me away about this story is he was patient. He knew Judas. He was patient with Judas. Judas was among the 12, and he taught him, and he walked with him. And at the same time, he knew his heart. He knew going in, and he loved Judas. He was the king of patience. He was patient. 2 Peter 3:8 says, but you must not forget this one thing, dear friends. A day is like 1,000 years to the Lord, and 1,000 years is like a day. The Lord isn't really slow about his promise, as some people think. No, he is being patient for your sake. He does not want anyone to be destroyed, but he wants everyone to repent. Everyone. That's God's heart. And that's God's heart for us. You see, another version of the scripture says he was long-suffering. Long-suffering. He suffered long for us. That's the story of the gospel, is that he suffered long for us. I know this is Palm Sunday. Hosanna! Praise be to God! But he suffered for us. And he knew going in. He knew the price going in. And just this last week, I don't know if it was, I really do think it was God. But I started recounting just the horrendous things I've done in my life. And I'm being transparent here. Man, it was like these, it was like a tape playing. And it wasn't the enemy digging things back up. I just recalled that I did that. I forgot about that. Oh, I did that to that person. I forgot about that. It was like I was like, oh, I can't believe I did that. And it was like, it was going through my head, and I began to realize how merciful God was. It wasn't to make me feel bad. It was showing me his patience, his long suffering. It was showing me how good God was and how long he suffered. Why would he love me? Why would he die for me? Because he was the king of mercy. That's who he was. The Bible says, no greater love than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. And here's the deal. He knew all of our hearts going in. He knew going in. He knew the price. That's why he said, Let this cup pass from me. Let this cup pass from me. Romans 5:6 says, when we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. It says, now most people would not be willing to die for an upright person. Most of us in here wouldn't really die for an okay person, right? Though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who is especially good. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. He died for you at the ugliest point of your life. If you were to lay it all out in front of you, the worst of your worst, he died for that. And here's the thing, folks, the best that you've ever been, your best day, he died for that day too. He knew me going in, but he pursued me. Even when I would say Hosanna at the beginning of the week, but I would turn my back on him at the end of the week. He pursued us knowing the details. The devil's in the details. And he pursued us. He keeps coming for us with reckless abandon. He came riding in, weeping, because he knew what he was getting into. He knew the price. And he took the full force of our sin. The full force. August the 16th, 1987, there was a Northwest Airlines flight 257. It crashed, killing 155 people. But there was one survivor, a little four-year-old girl named Cecilia. She was injured, but alive. The airplane crashed, and it actually crashed into some cars, and they couldn't believe that anybody on the plane would actually have survived the crash. In fact, they thought Cecilia was in one of the cars because it just didn't make sense that she was alive. They began to check the manifest in the plane, and they found out that Cecilia was on the flight. And they began to talk to her. They found that Cecilia's mother unbuckled herself and wrapped herself around Cecilia. And her mother took the full force of the crash to save Cecilia. And the message of the cross is that Jesus wrapped himself around us and took the full force of our sin. He took it all. The full force. And that's the message. Why would he do that? Because he thinks you're worth it. Because he loves you. Because he wants, more than anything, a relationship with you. And so when we ask God, how much do you love us? He said, this much. God is obsessed with us. Why else would he keep coming back? Why else would he keep forgiving us and keep healing us? Knowing the details, every detail. And the beautiful thing about Jesus is he loves us so much that when one of us turn back to him, just one. The Bible says that they have a party in heaven. When one of us turn back to him, all of heaven stands to attention and they go, yes, yes. Luke 15:4. Says, if a man has 100 sheep and one of them gets lost, what will he do? Won't he leave the 99 others in the wilderness and go to search for the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he will joyfully carry it home on his shoulders. And when he arrives, he will call together his friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, because I have found my lost sheep." And in the same way, there is more joy in heaven over one lost sinner who repents and returns to God than over the 99 others who are righteous and haven't strayed away. The beauty of the cross is when we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time. For that, we respond to God with all our heart. And we tell him, "God, we're not going to look to an earthly king to save us. It's not going to come from the government. It's not going to come from your job. It's not going to come from your friends or family. It's going to come from you, King. Because you are King of my heart." This morning, we're going to take communion together. They're going to be passing it out to us. And I know this was a heavy word. This morning, I struggled with this. In fact, I had a whole nother sermon I was going to preach, and God said no. He put it in my heart, and I said, "Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord." And so, communion is going back to the cross, back where he stretched out our arms, his arms, and he wrapped himself around us. You see, communion is when he took the full force of who we are. He took the full force of sin, the weight of it. So we go back to the cross today to remember what he did for us. We go back to show the Lord's death until he comes, to remember that he knew the price going in, that he knew our best day and our very worst day. That's the Jesus we serve. He's the King of our hearts because he loved us first when we were unlovable. Some of us are pretty lovable, but some of us are messes. He knew it. He knows our best days and our worst days, and he died for it. The beauty of the cross is that Jesus knew that we couldn't hold up our end of the bargain. He knew we would drop the ball. So not only did he come to fulfill his end of the bargain, he fulfilled both ends of the bargain. He died for you. He died for me. Will you give God your whole heart this morning? Will you give it back to him? Will you respond to God this morning with your whole heart? 1 Corinthians 11 and 23, it says, "For I received from the Lord what I also deliver to you. That the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, he took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Would you take that bread? Do you take that right now? And in the same way, also he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Would you take that cup this morning? "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes."
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. No precious is the flow that makes me white as snow.
Payment of the debt that we can never pay. see this gift, Father, but we just say thank you. It's because of your blood that I'm here today. So we say thank you for the cross today, Father. Thank you for enduring the pain on my behalf. In your name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated for just another second. Yeah, come on. Like Pastor Will said this morning, we're doing things a little differently today, and I think that's good. Keeps you guys on your toes. If this is your first or second time here, I just want to say thank you. Thank you for joining us in this house. Thank you for learning with us, being a little bit of a disciple with us, right? Disciple means learner. And we just want to tell you that this is a family of learners. And we join every single Sunday to learn a little bit more about our Savior. So if this is your first or second time, we've got a card in the seat back in front of you. If you would just take the time to fill that out for me. I'm not going to spam you. I'm not going to send you emails that you don't want. I'm not going to call you at 9:30 at night. I'm asleep by that time. But we just want to connect with you, because this church exists so that we can connect with each other and ultimately connect with Jesus. So if you just take a few seconds, fill that out, pass that in the offering plate as it's going to go by, I guarantee you, you won't regret it. Also, if you have a prayer request, this is for all of us. If you've got a prayer request, that same card is a place for you to make your request or to give us a praise report. I got to tell you, we pray over these things weekly. And as a staff, I don't know, I don't want to speak for everybody else, but whenever I get a praise report, I'm like, oh, thank God. Thank God. So give us those reports. Let us know what's going on in your life. And if you've got a prayer request, we want to be there for you and with you. And we're going to pray with you. Amen? Awesome. All right. Next thing we're going to do is give to God. We don't just give to the local church, although the Bible tells us that we give to the storehouse, right? We give to the local church, but ultimately you're giving to God. And what he sees fit is what we'll carry out. So why don't you join me this week in giving your best and your first? Because we know, and if you don't know, we're here to testify that if you honor God with your first, he will cover and protect and make that rest stretch and bless it and make it flourish. So there's multiple ways that you can give with us this morning. They're all up on the screen there. You can give by cash or check or your bank card, or the coolest way is texting. That's so cool. Every time Miss Erica gets up, I said Miss Erica, whoa, I won't say that when she's here. Every time Erica gets up here and talks about texting, I'm like, man, that's so cool. That's what a day and age we live in today. And I tell you what, I would not want to live in any other day than today. I love the access to technology. I love the access to information. Anyway, that's just a little sidetrack about me. Let's pray this morning. Father, we thank you. Thank you for these willing givers. Thank you for these cheerful hearts this morning. We thank you for everything you've done in their lives. We thank you for everything you've done for this storehouse, Father. And I ask your continued blessing upon this house and the people in it. We thank you, Father, for everything. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen.
To have you here. with us on Palm Sunday. We've got some exciting stuff coming up, and we want you to check it out. Hey, what's up, students? We want to invite you to join us for tons of fun stuff. We've got an awesome student ministry here at Promised Land, and you don't want to miss out. We've got services on Wednesday night starting at 6:30, and we hope that you'll join us. We do other fun stuff like hangouts, break parties, and camp. Hey, speaking of, kids, if you're going to camp, don't forget your $100 deposit is due on the 26th. Join us. Hey, Promised Land, Easter is next weekend, and we need your help. There are two things that you can do to help us make this event awesome. First of all, we're going to have four service times. There's an 8, a 9:30, an 11, and a 12:30. And we need you to help us by joining us at the first and last services so we can leave those two middle services for our guests. Second of all, we need you to invite your friends, your family, your neighbors, your barista, whoever. Invite them to come and hear the good news at Promised Land.
Every day, hundreds of villagers in Guatemala turn on a faucet for fresh water. In Africa, young kids go to Promised Land Secondary School. And in Mexico, people have a place to live and a place to worship. How is this happening? How is this possible? It's possible because you gave money. And we're going to do it again. I'm asking everybody that attends Promised Land to give big this Easter. And we're going to be supporting three of our causes across the globe. In Guatemala, we'll be building a kitchen in our village of Las Hoyas. In the schoolyard, we're going to be building a fence to help protect the kids from the elements of the jungle. We'll be supporting five Cuban pastors that are pastoring underground in an environment that is very much against what they're trying to accomplish. And we're going to be raising money to get our own property for our Lockhart campus. So this is a big, big dream, a big, big goal. But I know that everybody in Promised Land, if we give God our best, we will be able to accomplish all three of these things and continue to build the kingdom of God. So join me this Easter and come to worship with us on Easter Sunday, but come with a significant offering. Can't wait to see you then.
All right, we can do it. We can do it. We need your help, but we can do it. I gotta tell you, two sentences. I am so thankful that I sit underneath a pastor with so much vision. You're blessed, church. You're blessed. So with that, if you want to get baptized today, we baptize every single Sunday. Join us over here. You'll never forget it. This can be the turning point in your life. But if not, go with God. We love you. Thank you for joining us this morning. We'll see you next week. Hey, you guys are already early. Come to the 8:00. We need you to do that. Amen.